Our next speaker is the maintainer of the price opinator in the Bitcoin Cash hot dog channel. So if you're ever not happy with the price action of your Bitcoin Cash, just send him a message and say, can the devs do something? He also maintains BCHN, Fulcrum and Electron Cash, so only a little bit of the ecosystem, representing the United States of America, Callan Kulianu, with committing to UTXOs.
Thank you. How do things work? Back and forth? Okay. Up, forward, all right. Hello, everybody. So my talk will be on UTXO commitments, which is something that may be needed in the future for BCH, especially if blocks get really large. And I'll be discussing an overview of some of the thinking on the topic of UTXO commitments. So I'd like to special thanks go to Josh Green and Andrew Groot of Bitcoin Verde. They have done a lot of the deep dive thinking and analysis on this topic. And I will be presenting some of their ideas on this, basically, in this talk. So they're not here today, but I wish they were. But yeah, special thanks go to them. So just an overview, just to get everyone on the same page, start with the basics. What is a UTXO? It's an unspent transaction output, and this is sort of a depiction of the relationship between transactions as they move forward in time. You have like the most recent transaction invoking in outputs of previous transactions. So an unspent transaction output is just an output of a transaction, and then those become inputs to future transactions and so forth. Next slide. Ooh, did I turn it off? Oops. Oh. All right. Yeah, so the UTXO lifecycle. UTXOs get created and destroyed when new transactions appear. The sort of the old ones get destroyed when they're inputs, but the new ones get created. And so it's sort of a cycle. So there's you can think of them as like the fundamental unit of state of Bitcoin. And the Bitcoin consensus rules are mostly just concerned with managing UTXO state, really, like, except, you know, mostly. So they're basically like the UTXOs are state transitions, you know, and then there's a lot of UTXOs, and there's a lot of state transitions, and that's basically what's happening in Bitcoin, right? You can think of that on a really high level. Maybe I can make this argument, or, you know, it's not such a bold argument, but just to the UTXO anatomy, right? It's just a piece of data. Each UTXO has, like, let's say, 6 fields, and this is what they look like, basically. So the UTXOs are keyed like off of the previous transaction that they're invoking, transaction hash and output number, the amount in Satoshis, the locking script, which is basically the contract, or it's the conditions under which that output can be unlocked. And then there's this stuff related to Coinbase, like if it's a mined coin, there's like the confirmed height, which invokes like that rule, the maturity rule. You can't spend it until after 100 blocks, and so forth. So yeah, this is what a UTXO looks like, just so we know what data we're talking about. And this is just the model of the UTXO set. Like, what is a UTXO set? It's just the set of all unspent transaction outputs as of a certain point in time, of a certain block height, right? So, you know, a block arrives, the UTXO set is UTXO set 1. A new block arrives, it modifies the UTXO set because the transactions in it change some of the UTXOs, delete, destroy some, and add new ones, and so forth. And then on the blockchain tip, then you have the UTXO set for Bitcoin. I'm going to be using the term Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash interchangeably because I think Bitcoin Cash is Bitcoin. But yeah, so that's the UTXO set. So at any moment in time, like a block is basically just modifying the UTXO set. That's basically just doing operations on it. And then like the UTXO set is like the state. So you're at the blockchain tip, and that's the current UTXO set. So why is it important? Because like if you want to be in consensus, like you need to know the UTXO set. You can't transact without knowing what the inputs and outputs are. You can't evaluate inputs and outputs of a transaction, right? Like you don't know if it's a valid spend or not unless you know what the UTXO set is. It's basically the most key piece of state for Bitcoin. And like Bitcoin nodes are just concerned with that, like maintaining that data structure. So it's like the central ledger, basically, of Bitcoin. That's the ledger, the UTXO set, right? So, it determines who has funds and who doesn't. Like, so that's the UTXO set. We're in agreement. That begs the question, like, if the UTXO set's so important, like, why are we downloading blocks? Like, when, you know, you start up a new node, like, it has to, like, initial block download or IBD, you know, like, what's the purpose of that? And there are many purposes to it, but one of the primary ones is the node is actually trying to start at block zero, the genesis block, and, like, just play forward all of history to, like, reconstruct the current UTXO set, you know, based on all the consensus rules, just downloading all the blocks. So that's one of the things it's doing. and so that, you know, that process takes a long time. So, you know, like, why not just download the UTXO set, right? Like, why even bother with IBD? Like, like, why start it, you know, why not just get the current set and move forward, right? Because you would save a lot of time, like, right? And so, you know, but that would be great, right? Like, you don't have to, like, let's say we had 100 megabyte blocks, right? And, like, you know, you'd have, like, gigabytes worth of data every single day being generated. And, like, you know, like, for some use cases, that might not be what you want. so, like, you might just want to hit the ground running now, right? And but the thing is, there's no trustless way to do that. Like, there are some node implementations have done a thing where it's called fast sync, where they just have a hard-coded hash in the binary, and if they download a UTXO set and it matches the hash they're expecting, like, they know that it's, you know, the devs blessed it and it's good. But that requires trust. Like, there's no trustless way to do it. So the only thing you can do is just start at block zero and play the whole chain forward. Yes, I mean, right. So you have to trust the devs because if they're lying to you, you know, maybe they can print money out of thin air, and then your client will be out of consensus or something, or even worse, like, if everybody installs that client, they just made money. So you don't want to do that. But if we could get UTXO commitments, like, we could have this scenario where some use cases where they just want to hit the ground running, they just want to get a node started, they want to be in consensus, they want to know what valid spends are. You know, you don't have to download the whole blockchain, right? Like, you could just, like, start being in consensus. And that might unchain, like, BCH in some ways, because, like, you know, like, that old core argument about, like, oh, we need to keep blocks small because you can't just have history growing forever, like, you know, hard drives will fill up, you know, like, that can just go away for some use cases. Like, you don't care. Like, you could just start from, you know, like, 100,000th block, and you're just moving forward. So it might unchain, like, some use cases. So, like, what would that look like, actually, like, physically, right? Like, what would a UTXO commitment possibly look like? So here you have, just the block header, and then, like, the first transaction, CoinMate transaction, the next transaction, and so forth. ideally, you'd want to put, so the UTXO commitment would be, like, a hash of the UTXO set, right? Like, of the current UTXO set that block was mined against, you'd have, like, a hash of that whole thing, like, and you'd want to embed that in somewhere, like, in the block, right? So ideally, you'd put in the header, but you don't really want to do that because the header is sort of a data structure that a lot of software knows how to process, and you don't want to be modifying that. It's like an 80-byte header, and, like, a lot of things just, it would break a lot of downstream software to do that if you put it in the header. And not every piece of software that would be broken by this would benefit from UTXO commitments. So, like, you're breaking everybody just for, like, the benefit of, like, a niche use case, maybe. So you don't want to do that. So a good thing to do is, like, do what Core did. Like, they put their, like, SegWit witness block hash or whatever it's called. They put it in the Coinbase. Like, it's required to be there, otherwise the block isn't valid. You could just have a UTXO commitment as an OP return or whatever you want in the Coinbase transaction. And if it's missing, you know, the block isn't valid. It has to be there. You know, and it seems to work well for Bitcoin Core, so, I mean, we could do that. That's one idea. So, like, this block, you know, it embeds the hash of S, and yay, like, you have a commitment. Like, this block committed to that UTXO set. It's, like, you know, POW-backed. So, and then, like, let's say you had a UTXO commitment, like, you know, you'd have, like, a minimal download to get started, like, to just start running a node that can transact, right? Like, let's say you had a 32 megabyte block, and you have to download, like, N headers or whatever before that block, because you really need the headers anyway. You want to verify this block, like, versus those headers. So you have to get all the headers, like, 72 megabytes. And then let's say the UTXO set is 4 gigabytes or something. Like, you know, you end up doing, like a 4.1 gigabyte download, and you can start transacting immediately rather than having to do IBD from beginning, you know, maybe wait 12 hours or whatever. So, that's what it would be like. A minimal download would look like this. Like, so, yeah, but there are trade-offs, right? Like, you're skipping the evaluation of all the blocks from block zero. So, like, like, there might... you know, that just weakens like the security in a bit, because you're not like validating the chain of custody of every single coin that ever existed, right? We already are skipping some of like Bitcoin Cash Node, for instance, already skips some things for really old blocks. Like, we don't need to verify signatures for ancient blocks. Like, we have checkpoints that are hard coded in the binary, and so we skip like we skip signature validation. So we already kind of do this a little bit, and like, this is kind of normalized to skip some types of validation from the past. But this would be even more. Like, you're even not even doing amount checks on like anymore. Like, if you have a UTXO set and you don't download all the old blocks, like, there could be just consensus rules violated. You would never know. Right, but you know, you're hoping that, of course, that'll be guaranteed to not be the case if the UTXO commitment is engineered properly. But still, it's something that you're not doing. It's like a check you're not doing. So there are some trade-offs, right? Yeah, but you know, the hope though would be that most nodes would run full, like a full blockchain. Like, you don't want to just have the whole world forget what the history was, and then no one could verify if we're crazy. But So UTXO commitments are actually like an old idea. I think I took the wrong screenshot. Now I see it. I was trying to get like old forum posts from Bitcoin, Bitcoin Talk Forum, but this one is actually from 2021. Oops. they're old. Like, you can go back to like 2014 or 2013, and like, they're talking about just UTXO commitments and what they would look like, and like, we can't wait for this to happen. Like, someday, you know, the core devs are working on it, you know, and that's like 2024, and they don't even talk about it. Like, it doesn't exist. Because actually, if this existed, it would kind of destroy. I think it would destroy the narrative of like, you know, you got to have tiny blocks forever. So, but back in the day, before all the bad stuff happened to Bitcoin, like. Basically, yeah, like, there's people who are waiting for this to happen. Like, oh, UTXO commitments someday. Like, we need them. Unfortunately, I think I copied and pasted the wrong. I apologize. I copied and pasted the wrong. But yes, trust me, there are like old postings on Bitcoin Talk Forum. You can go back. Like, this has been an idea that's been in circulation like for a long time. And so one of the ideas, how do you organize the UTXO set? Like, you know, like, how do you, like, what's the best data structure to use? One of them would be U-tree-XO, where you basically build like a ginormous Merkle tree, or like each UTXO is just a leaf on the tree. And then you got to do like the order, big O n log n, like calculation, compute the tree, and then the root of the trees is UTXO set commitment. So the advantage of this is that you can like prove set inclusion just the way you can with blocks. Like, you can just do Merkle proof, like, oh, like, was this UTXO? And like, you know, is it in the set? And like, yes, you can answer that. You can like do a Merkle proof. So that's really cool, like, about U-tree-XO, right? It's got this awesome feature that you can prove, like, for SPV wallets, like, they could just ask, is this UTXO valid? Like, prove it to me. And then like, you know, they get a proof. But the problem with this is that Merkle trees are not the fastest. Like, they, you know, it's basically an n log n data structure. So, I mean, there are probably optimizations you could do. You could probably parallelize it, but it's not ideal, right? Because UTXO set are like, it's unbounded. Like, you can have a UTXO set in the gigabytes or the hundreds of gigabytes theoretically. Like, you know, you don't want to be churning through that much data. So it's kind of worrying, right? If you do a U-tree-XO for something that you want to be global money, or you potentially are billions and billions of UTXOs out there. So I would consider this to be detrimental to scaling, even though it has these nice properties. And another approach is to just not care about like proofs. Like, just do a flat UTXO set. Just like spit out the data and like hash all of it. And if you choose your hash function correctly, you can do like constant time updates. Like, if you're adding and deleting to the UTXO set constantly as you're processing transactions. You don't have that complexity of updating a Merkle tree, like, but you have to choose your hash function correctly to do that. But flat. This is probably the fastest thing you can do. Just have a big UTXO set, hash the whole thing. That's your commitment. It has a huge disadvantage. It doesn't have the nice thing you get from Merkle trees, which is you can't prove set inclusion. So you can't say, like, given a particular UTXO, like, does this exist now in the UTXO set? Like, you can't do that. But that's okay, because like, that's actually the status quo right now. Like, we don't do that anyway. Like, SPV wallets don't get any proofs. Like, and it seems like SPV wallets function correctly right now. Like, we wouldn't be losing a lot by going with this strategy, because it's like, we wouldn't be adding a feature that might be desirable. That's all. But I think this is the most scalable thing you can do, because it's just, you know, big O of N. So, you know, like, it's, you know, you don't incur any risk by maintaining like a more difficult data structure. So there are some challenges, even with a flat set. Like, there are some challenges, because you want to, ideally you'd want, you don't want any of the negative properties of like, of like complexity. So like you don't want to care about which order you used to hash, right? Like you want like the UTXOs could be in any order, and like you hash it in the right way, like it produces the same root hash, right? The same commitment hash. And to do that, you have to pick your hash function correctly, actually. You can't just use SHA-256 because that's order sensitive. So then anywhere, if you were to pick SHA-256, you'd have to have like a canonical order for the UTXO set, which means you have to sort it, which means you're back to n log n. So you can't do that. You have to go with a different way to hash. So you can get like constant time set maintenance. You can add and delete. And as you add and delete UTXOs, you just get like a constant, like you just can update the root hash like immediately. Like that would be ideal. And so that's where like EC multisets enter into the picture. It's a hash function that has these properties. So yeah, this is kind of a formal definition of an EC multiset. And I don't need to like parse this for you, but basically it's talking about the desirable properties of an EC multiset, where you can recombine subsets easily, trivially, and order doesn't matter. It's got commutative property. So it's from this paper up there. I guess you can go read the paper. So it's called an EC multiset hash where. You can do unions really easily, like two subsets. The set itself is represented by hash. You can just do a union by adding the two hashes or the two. You know, it's really nice for certain things. So like the way it would work is you basically use you it leverages like properties of the elliptic curve cryptography. Like you just take any piece of data and you translate it into a point on the curve, and then another piece of data, and to add the two to the set, you just add those two pieces of data together, and like you walk the curve. And like to remove things from the set, you just delete like the that point, right? So it's basically like addition. Like it's like 1 + 1 = 3, you know, 3 - 1 equals 2. Like 1 + 1 = 2. Like you end up doing. It ends up having the properties of addition, where order doesn't matter, and you end up at the same result, which is nice because if you're maintaining a UTXO set, you want to be able to add and delete in any order, and then you end up at the same answer, sort of the way you would do with arithmetic, right? So, and this talks about some of the properties are. You can add and delete elements in constant time. The order of the elements doesn't matter. You can do adds and deletes in any order, and you arrive at the same result, just like you can with addition. An EC multiset hash can represent a set like a subset, and the union of the two sets are just adding the two EC multiset hashes together, and you get another point on the curve, and that's just like the sum of all of them, so like the union of all of them. And that's pretty cool because then you could actually break up your problem really easily into buckets. Like you can like parallelize it. Like you can just have like you're trying to work on the whole UTXO set, which is like hundreds of millions or a billion entities. Like you could just break it up into like little pieces and like throw each piece at a core, have them churn on it. They all arrive at a result. You add all the results together. It's really like almost embarrassingly parallelizable. So that's pretty cool. Like EC multisets have all these nice properties, but the disadvantage, like I said before, is you can't prove set inclusion. Like if I give you an EC multiset hash of some set, you can't tell if one particular element is in that set. Like the only thing you can do is if I give you a whole set, you can say that set is that hash. That's all you can do. but the nice property, like that nice property of bucketing, where you can like split everything up, is really cool. Like it's easily parallelizable, and in fact, the Bitcoin Verity proposal like explicitly leverages this, and even in the protocol design of how you like do the peer-to-peer sharing of the UTXO set. The proposal splits up the UTXO set into 128 buckets, and each bucket is a subset, and then you just have to work on each bucket independently, and then at the end you just add them all up, and you get to the root and the commitment hash. So now that, let's say you have a UTXO commitment, it's great. Like you can, all you have to do is just download the UTXO set from untrusted peers, and you use the commitment that's on the blockchain. You know that that's good because it's miner backed. Like the whole chain agreed to it. The whole network agreed to it. You download the UTXO set. you verify it just by doing the EC multiset ops on what you downloaded, make sure it matches the hash in the block, and now you know that what you downloaded is good. So then you can just continue playing history forward from block N. You know, you don't have to go to block zero. You just download the UTXO set for block N, download block N, and then you can just move forward in time. And so that would be cool. But that would require consensus changes, right? It would be like, you'd have to add a consensus rule. Like, you have to basically enforce this commitment. Like, if the commitment is in the block, it has to be, and you can decide on what the schedule is. It could be every block, every 100th block, every 1,000th block. You don't need to have a commitment every block necessarily. It might just be overkill. But at some point, a commitment has to appear. Let's say every 1,000th block. Like, if it's missing, block is invalid. If it's wrong, reject the block. If it's correct, accept the block. So that would be a new consensus rule. And you would need, hopefully some way to get to download a UTXO set, because, like, all right, you have this commitment, but, like, if no one can download a UTXO set, it's useless. Like, it's just there for no reason. So you'd need to modify the peer-to-peer protocol so that people can share the UTXO sets, like, in a BitTorrent-like fashion, you know, or maybe similar to the way they share blocks now. And that could just be in addition to the existing protocol. Like, it wouldn't interfere with anything. If you could use bucketing to, like, sort of parallelize the downloads. And so you could download in little pieces. The way BitTorrent sort of works in pieces, and this is kind of a piece strategy. So, if you wanted to move forward with like UTXO commitments for BCH, like you don't even have to like necessarily do it overnight. You could like phase it in. Like you can phase it in as just a fast sync, like the way Bitcoin. I think BCHD used to do this, where they'd have a fast sync. You just download from one of their servers, and you can get the set. Well, we can do something like where you just develop the peer-to-peer protocol piece, where nodes are sharing the UTXO set, and they have like a compiled-in hash. You gotta trust the developers, which kind of sucks, but. And then you just develop the peer-to-peer protocol, like, because that part is probably the most difficult, actually. Just having the peer-to-peer protocol where they're sharing UTXO sets in an efficient manner, and there's no gotchas, and there's no scamming going on, or no exploits or whatever of like bugs. If you get that in place, and nodes are like sharing UTXO sets, the ones that care about fast sync, you know, not every node is going to care about fast sync, but for the ones that care about fast sync. You can do that. Just have, and that's just phasing it in. It's just a peer-to-peer protocol change. You opt in, like it doesn't have, you know, it doesn't bother anybody. And then you could decide, okay, like we like the peer-to-peer protocol change. It's working well. You can then just say, all right, like now we're going to activate UTXO commitments. Like every 1,000th block or every 100th block has to have this hash in the right place in the Coinbase. And that's part of the consensus. And then, you know, we already have a protocol for sharing the UTXO sets. Now it's just like the blocks have to like commit to the UTXO set. And then, yeah, you could switch it on, and then you'd have UTXO commitments on BCH. And so there are advantages to this, right? Like, you can spin up a node really quickly and begin transacting. Like, you know, maybe it would be like a 5 gigabyte download that takes like 30 minutes or 20 minutes, and you're just like, you know, you're a peer-to-peer node. You don't have the full history, but at least you can do consensus now, like in immediate, you know, you don't have the full history. But, and so that might be a practical solution for some people that just don't care about the full history for whatever their use case is. Yeah, and then if you combine that with like better SPV compatible pruning, which is like Satoshi talked about in a white paper, but hasn't been implemented yet, you have like an excellent just scaling strategy for BCH. Like if the whole blockchain is like terabytes and terabytes, but most people don't need the full history, and for them the burden is just to download like 50 gigabytes and they're done, or whatever, like you know, that'd be nice. And if you could still do SPV with that, that'd be even great, even better. So. But, you know, like introducing something like this is pretty risky, and like you want to be sure you don't make a mistake. So some of the risks I thought of, and there are probably things I haven't thought of, like doing something like this would incentivize fewer full historical nodes, because you don't really need to like serve up all the blocks anymore. And that may normalize some unexpected use cases of like Bitcoin Cash, where like, oh, we don't care if the blocks are huge constantly with full of junk, like whatever, you just use UTXO commitments, you throw away the old blocks, like I don't, you know, it might not be a good idea, right? I don't know. And like there may be unknown unknowns, like maybe there's some bugs or exploits in ECMH and EC multiset hashing, and then like, you know, that would be really bad. So, you know, there are risks associated with something like this. It is a fundamental, like dangerous, kind of scary thing, but I also think there's benefit in it. So yeah, that's the end of my talk. And there's more info here at these links if you want to start reading about some of the thinking on UTXO commitments in BCH. And yeah, I hope, yeah, thank you. Do I wait for questions or? Yeah, thank you.
Okay, questions?
Yeah, thank you for the talk.
Thank you for listening. Yes.
So my question was, if, for example, there is every 1,000 blocks a commitment and you run a full node, will it keep also the old UTXO sets to serve for...
Yeah. That's a good question. That's a very good question. Yeah, so yeah, ideally you'd want to keep... I don't know what the best design would be, but you definitely... That's an excellent question. You definitely want to... Like, especially if it's every 1,000th block, you'd want nodes to keep commitments, you know... Keep a snapshot of the, you know, from 1,000 blocks ago, or from that block, you know, or even from a few such iterations ago. Yeah, you definitely need that. Like, so you'd need a in within the node, you need a way to snapshot. Like, all right, I know a commitment block is, you know, block like 900,000. So, at block 900,000, I'm taking a snapshot, saving it to disk. I'm going to start advertising it to my peers, and I'm going to keep that around. You know, and actually, in like level DB, which is what Bitcoin Cash Node does, you could do that in like in parallel in the background. You just tell the database, "I want to take a snapshot," and it just does it. And you can continue transacting, adding and deleting stuff, and it won't affect the snapshot. So that's kind of nice that level DB does that. But you know, you can imagine other node implementations doing something like that. So yeah, you'd keep it around. You'd keep around an old UTXO set to share. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah.
That was great. Thank you. So
thanks.
I have a question about do you see what some of the issues will be with mempool? Does this have any impact on mempool synchronization and like the state of various mempools? How is that going to be with, right, because the UTXO set is going to include...
Oh, no, it wouldn't. Yeah, I'm sorry. I should actually clarify that. So you can define UTXO set as just the confirmed stuff. Uh-huh. So it depends on your definitions of what a UTXO set is. Like, actually, really, the most up-to-date UTXO set includes mempool. That's correct. And it includes everything in the mempool. But sort of this is more concerned with whatever has already been mined. So okay. The UTXO set as of a confirmed block. So I guess we just for the purposes of this discussion or just thinking about UTXO set commitments or anything like that, you just forget about the mempool. That's sort of transitory. It's ephemeral. Just the confirmed stuff.
So in that case, would it cause any change in kind of orphan risks? You know, if people have different mempools as they're creating blocks?
Well, since the mempool isn't really implicated, and it's not a commit... So I probably should have been clear in my talk. I apologize. So in the UTXO commitment, you just commit to every mined transaction previous to block N, right? So there's no... The mempool isn't involved in the hash. It doesn't enter the picture. You could have a clean mempool, and you'd get the same commitment hash. You could have a full mempool. It's not... It's not an issue. Like, the mempool isn't entering the equation. I should have probably made that clearer in my talk. That's a good... Yeah, thanks for the question. Yeah.
So, Colin, the presentation was very technical heavy, and I am not sure if I caught everything. So my question is...
Sure.
For example, if right now we have an UXTO set of 8 gigabytes, and if I understood correctly, then we split it into parts and hash every part separately, and then we join the hashes somehow? Is that correct?
Yeah, and yes, that's correct. Yes, and the EC multiset has this interesting property where you can easily join hashes. You can't easily join hashes with SHA-256.
So we can then join the hash and we get one big hash of everything?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
And that hash is the same as if you had just done it all together at once. It doesn't matter that you did it in pieces. And that's just an implementation detail, but it's important because you want to be able to download this thing piecemeal, and you don't care about the order of the stuff in it. Like, you don't want to have to worry about those things.
That's great. So, thank you.
Yeah.
So I was actually going to ask if there was... any risk of things going wrong in case there was an orphan block that had a commitment in it, if we're only doing it every n blocks, and then I kind of realized the answer to that is probably no, just because you can just mine another block, and if it's the same block height, you're just going to get a new commitment. So the question's kind of moot, sorry.
Yeah, no, it's okay. Yeah, actually, that wasn't clear to me either when I started thinking about this, and I started working on some implementation work, and that's like the first question I asked myself, too. It's like, oh, no, because it's basically up until block n, so it's the same set. So yeah. I had the same question.
Yeah, I'm wondering how old is this EC multiset hash function? Is it What's the history of it?
That's a good question. So, you'd want to first know if it's trusted, if it's understood well, if it can have flaws.
Yeah, that's my main concern.
Yeah. As far as I understand, it's not that old. Okay. Like 10 years old. But, I mean, yeah, that's a good question. That requires more investigation. Yeah. That's a very good question, because that is one of the risks. Like, if this hash function is terrible, or if it has a flaw, or if just things weren't thought through, where you can easily forge, like, it's trivial to construct another set that's fake. That's definitely worth investigating further. And it's something to take seriously.
Since we talk about whether we define the UTXO set to be only for the confirmed blocks or otherwise include the mempool. I just want to say that, I mean, I shielded it to you already, but if you include the mempool part, I strongly believe that the EC multiset UTXO commitment, because it's so performant, it can lead to a certain solution that finally does something about what everyone cares about all the time, which is confirmation time. I just want to say that it's still in concept phase. It might come out in due time.
Yeah, actually, can I expand on that? Because you explained your idea to me before, and it's pretty cool. So let's say you have nodes that are maintaining this UTXO commitment. They're maintaining that root, that EC multiset hash that's just it just captures the whole UTXO set, right, as a block end. If you have that already, you can do cool stuff like just broadcast your... like the set hash that includes the mempool, like so the transient UTXO set, the one that includes the mempool, the ephemeral one, and you could broadcast that to other nodes, and they could have an idea of what's in your mempool, and then you could do interesting things with pre-consensus, right? Roughly, like you can basically, or you can even have miners saying, "This is what I'm going to mine." Like the next block's UTXO set will be this. Are you okay? You know, and the other people could be like, "Oh, okay, that'll include my transaction," or "Oh no, that's different than what I was expecting," and you can do stuff from there further, right? Is that Does it do fair justice to your idea? Yeah. Because you're already leveraging this like one compact hash thing. You could add stuff to it.
Earlier in the presentation, I saw that you said I needed to download the block after I downloaded the headers in order to get the actual commitment.
Yeah.
But the Coinbase transaction, isn't that included in the Merkle proof? Can't I SPV proof the Coinbase transaction and skip the block download?
You could, yes. That's correct. You could.
Thank you.
Yeah. I guess the assumption was that, you could. You could do that. I mean, but then you wouldn't be able to build forward. Because the way I was thinking of it, it would be like every 1,000th block. So that UTXO set you're downloading is probably like from like 500 blocks ago. And if you want it to be current, I guess you need the whole block because you got to start playing history forward, like a transaction by transaction. But if you were some lighter use case, that's something you could do. Yes. You don't even need to get the whole block, yeah.
You're presenting on this, so presumably you're mostly sort of in favor of it and you're just acknowledging the risks. How do we assess how big the risk is, and how do we kind of quantify that or come to some community understanding of what the risk would be in something like this?
I think more discussion and thought by smart people for people that are really, I think this needs to be taken really seriously because it's reducing huge risk. Like you could like print money out of thin air, right? Because like, it's just all you have is the UTXO set hash. You start normalizing everyone downloading UTXO sets. No one really remembers what history was. And then you wake up with a bug. So I don't know. Yeah, it's not to be taken lightly, but there are huge advantages. Like if Bitcoin Cash scales to be global money, like you can't imagine everyone wanting to download like 100 terabytes. You know, some people might want to transact now and they want to do so in a more secure fashion than trusting like an SPV server. They want to be able to verify transactions now. So, I mean, you can see a reality where, like, whether we like it or not, we have to come up with a design that includes something like this in some future reality. But definitely if we do that, it should be really, 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 like, carefully thought out. Yes.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, we've got time. Yeah. And there's no rush, actually. This could happen in 2030 or something. You know, by the time we have to eat bugs, we could have this as well. So. Yeah,
I'm kind of thinking maybe if it would do the opposite, it would make running a node more common, right? Because people could run a node and then backfill the transactions later, so lower barrier to entry and you get more nodes.
Yeah, it could, yes. Yeah, I got a node running now, all right. Oh, maybe I should just turn on the history stuff too. Yeah, like it's just less friction to even run a node. So that'll, of course, when there's less friction to anything, like it's more likely to happen, you would think. Yeah.
All right, cool. Round of applause for Callan. No.
Thank you, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.